Like some breathing room? A little bit of breathing room today. We are in a sermon series called Breathing Room. All right? And it's based on the book of Ecclesiastes. And so Pastor Jack will be back with us next week. But Pastor Serena is here today, and she will be delivering the message on Ecclesiastes 3. I'm just the warm-up band. But I tell you, I got more coming. So stay tuned. You're going to have a lot of fun today. I promise you that. Are you in a busy season? Do you define your life by seasons? Is it a busy season, or are you just busy as a lifestyle? There's a difference there, right? Maybe you're in a different season. I don't know. But do the seasons define you? Or are you letting them refine you? Yeah, difference. I want to tell you real quickly about a season that I was in for 40 years, 40 years. From the time of birth, the time I was 40 years old, the season of allergies. Can anybody relate to that? And I'm just talking about regular allergies. I'm talking about heavy allergies back in the homeland of Oklahoma, okay? So where ragweed grows higher than the person, right? And so every year, bad allergies, getting sick, antibiotics, all that stuff. You know the routine. But for me, every year, a sinus infection around fall, the time of year fall starts. Fall season. Fall season to me was misery season. The season of misery. For some, like Serena, it's her favorite season of the year. For me, not so much, because that in part defined, you know, what I was feeling during that time. Now, it wasn't all bad, no. I mean, in fact, there were some great things that happened during the fall of the year. I remember Serena and I, our first date as young adults was in the fall season. Unfortunately, I was coming down with a sinus infection. She was cooking me supper, right? And then we were going to watch The Jungle Book on TV. I don't think we made it through The Jungle Book. I had to go home. I was miserable. You know how it is with a sinus infection. Well, it turned out, we turned out, right? So it turned out good. But the fact is that season was not my best one. How did I seek relief and comfort? I'm going to tell you two things of relief and comfort. One, I would ride my bicycle. This was in junior high. I'd ride my bicycle to the public library. This is 1972 or 3, right? And I would go and check out the latest version of Arizona Highways magazine. This is not one. This is Oklahoma magazine, right? But I don't have an Arizona Highways magazine because I checked it out and I turned it back in. I didn't steal the thing, right? So I was a good kid. But Arizona High, because they had the clean air, they didn't have ragweed in Arizona. I vacationed there as well. It was a great place. I love this place. Right? And so I always dreamt of being in Arizona. Another thing, later on in life when I was in college, a friend of mine gave me a New American Standard Bible, a translation I could understand better than King James, right? So I read that. I gravitated in the fall of the year to what book of the Bible? Ecclesiastes. Most kids, even in college, can't even spell Ecclesiastes, right? Ecclesiastes, the preacher, right? So here I am reading and getting comfort in the book of Ecclesiastes. Reading Arizona Highways in Ecclesiastes. Is that weird or not? Long story short, I turned out okay, I think. Maybe. Still. Long story short, we actually ended up moving to Arizona. It's part of the story of our life. But after much prayer, after much, you know, consideration, it wasn't just the health issues that we moved to Arizona for, but God was moving us. He was moving us out of a season to another season. And yes, the health was part of it. But that started a whole nother season for us. And so, today, is your season defining you? Or is it you allowing God to help refine you? All right. Told you I have something else special for you today because Serena's going to be in Ecclesiastes 3. Don't know if you knew it or not, but back in the 1960s, the rock group, The Byrds, okay, they performed this tune called Turn, Turn, Turn. Come on up. And it's based on the book of Ecclesiastes 3. The birds are here today. No, it's not the birds. I don't know if the birds are still around or not, but we have Ricardo Semeria and we have Esther Campbell in the 2024 version of Turn, Turn, Turn. And yes, you are welcome to join in singing.
To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to reap. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to laugh, I know, a time to weep. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And that time to every purpose under heaven. A time to build up, a time to break down. A time to dance, a time to mourn. A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones together.
Sing with us.
To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And that time to every purpose. Under heaven.
A time of love.
A time of love. A time of pain. A time of war. A time of peace. A time you may embrace. A time to refrain from embracing. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And that time to every purpose under heaven.
Let's do it.
A time to gain, a time to lose. A time to rend, a time to sow. A time for love, a time for hate. A time for peace, I know. I swear it's not too late.
Let's go. Okay. Ecclesiastes 3 is where we're going. We're going to be looking at the seasons and the times. Who made the seasons and the times? God did. And he has made your season and your time. So let's go to Ecclesiastes 3. You already heard it in that beautiful song. Scripture is also beautiful and all powerful. Verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. Have you ever laughed at the wrong time? Yeah, it wasn't time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Turn, turn, turn. That song is almost word for word of Ecclesiastes 3. And it has one primary message. There is a season for everything. It's a snapshot of the times, of the emotions that we go through from the time we're born until the day we go into the arms of Jesus, our Lord. Let's take a moment to pray. Holy God, you have given us this book of Ecclesiastes, and you know what? Some of us have never read this book before, and that's okay. Some of us are in a season right now that is difficult. Some of us are living it up. It's the best time of all. And some of us are trying to move out of the season we're in to get to the next one. God, you have a word for every single person because your spirit is all powerful. We invite your presence, God, into this church. Thank you, Lord, for coming and being with us in our worship, in our praying, in the song that was just sung. And everyone said, amen. So we are going to look at some of these seasons, some that were mentioned in the song. The first one we're going to look at, there's a time for love and there's a time for hate. And you know what? We're all about the first one, aren't we? Who loves those love songs? Love makes the world go round. Crazy in Love by Beyonce. Endless Love by Diana Ross and Lionel Richie. I Can't Stop Loving You by Ray Charles. Love works for us. But what about hate? Yes, there is a time for hate. Let me give you an example. We have violence in mass proportions. Violence of mass shootings. In times like these, we want to blame God. And yet we're running to the box office, to the theater, to watch sometimes violent movies, or watching them on the home screen, or we have the video games. So when one person acts out on what they've seen, we get upset. And we run to God and we say, how, God, could you let this happen? There is a time to hate darkness. The suicide rate for our young people has increased 15 to 34 years of age for different factors. What is driving that? It's not God. One cruel post on social media has serious repercussions. It can change and alter a life, a young life, forever. God hates evil. And we see this in Proverbs 6:16. If you haven't read this, please write it down on your bulletin. Proverbs 6:16. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty, prideful eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that divides his wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up dissension in a family. What drives this meanness? The enemy of our soul. We are not in a battle against people, against each other, but against the enemy, the forces of darkness. Well, there is a time for hate. There's a time for hate when freedom and dignity are stolen. In a biography about Abraham Lincoln, the author details a picture of young Lincoln the first time he saw a living slave offered in New Orleans on the slave block. Lincoln's response to what he saw was, "There was a hatred rising inside of me against slavery. And I swore if someday I could do something, I would do something about it." People, there is a time for war and there is a time for peace. We want peace, don't we? There is a time when good people have to stand up for what we believe in against leaders and dictators who are killing innocent people. Even our brothers and sisters of faith. I wish it wasn't so. But there is a time for war. And I want to take a moment to thank those in this room and those watching online who have sacrificed for our freedom and those that remained at home as their spouse was overseas. Thank you. Thank you for fighting for our freedom. There is a time for everything, seasons for everything. And yet we need breathing room, right? Are you breathing? Check it. Are you breathing? Okay. So that was pretty heavy stuff, right? It was. So as I was looking through the seasons of my life, okay, I hope this doesn't bore you, but I just had to think about parenting seasons. Do we have any young parents in here? Or parents with young children? Parents with young children? Not this service. A few? Okay, all right. And hey, grandparents, you know what I'm talking about here. Parents, I want to recognize you in this church, and single parents. We have many single parents. I admire you. You work so hard every day, pouring into each child. Well, I'm praying for breathing room for you, breathing room, that time with God. Well, we know as parents, we live in a season of nonstop activity. One kid is sick. One kid needs help with homework. One is hungry. One kid has an owie. One kid needs a breathing treatment. One kid dumps toys all over each room in the house, so they always have something to play with. And one kid thinks they're Picasso and uses the walls of the house as their canvas. Have you had that one? Yeah, I have that grandchild. All right. Well, I remember a season when God taught me to dance instead of cry when I had two little ones. When my second daughter was born, I had the choice of leaving her in the hospital for 2 weeks or bringing her home. So, of course, Brent and I decided, well, yeah, we can do this. We'll bring her home. We'll take shifts. We'll have, how many does it take? 6 4-hour shifts. You sleep, I'll watch the baby, because it'd be 24 hours because she's under these lights. See? And then I thought, yeah, that will work. And then, wait a minute. Who's going to watch the toddler? Well, who's going to cook dinner? Well, who's going to go to the store? This clearly was not going to work because, yeah, then who's going to sleep? So, of course, my mom came rushing to help us, which was incredible. And so then we got to have our real routine of where all three of us were watching the baby. And then everything got done that needed to get done, except for at the end of the 2 weeks, we all had colds, including the baby, which was okay. But I thought, oh, we're going to get more sleep because we sent the incubator back. Baby can rest in her crib. It's all good. Well, that just began another season of the mysterious colic. You know what I'm saying? Woo, that was a long season. So as soon as she's, you know, she's all well, she's passed all the jaundice tests. And so at 11 o'clock without fail, she would start crying. You change the diaper. You'd make sure they're fed. In fact, I probably fed her too much. And still she would cry. And so I'd rock and rock and rock. And then I pulled out the CD my brother had given me, Olivia Newton-John. And guess what? As long as I was dancing, she stopped crying. Well, how long can that last, people? Not too long. So a few weeks later, someone said, hey, you know, you should try these drops. So I go, these little gas relief drops. You go to the health food store. Oh, no dye, you know, completely natural. So, you know, I'm giving her these little drops. 1, 2, holding my breath, praying, please, God, let this work. I'm so tired. And then, she's crying again. Crying, crying, crying. So here we go. Dancing, dancing. Did I say it was until 3 a.m? Dancing until 3 a.m. And then everyone would fall asleep. And then the toddler wakes up at 7:30. 4.5 hours of sleep. Oh, it's all good, right? It's all good. Then I'm at church and somebody says, well, have you tried wine? And I'm like, yes, I should try some of that. And I was like, wait, what? What? Now, maybe I tried that. It was diluted in a little tiny dropper. Okay, maybe that worked a little bit, but still, there were 3 months of dancing around until 2:30 a.m. God taught me to dance instead of cry. That was the season of sleep deprivation. Well, as a parent or a grandparent, perhaps you also know the season of finicky eaters. So my grandkids, they all love my spaghetti meatballs and homemade breadsticks. And so when I make this for them, I mean, usually they just gobble it up. Well, one day, my little Wyatt, older grandson, he's looking at his plate and he's not eating it. And he says, Cece, what's this green thing on my plate? So I see no green thing on your plate, Wyatt, because, you know, you can't have anything green on your plate. And he says, right here, Cece, with this microscopic little tiny flake of oregano. Eat it, Wyatt. You'll love it. And he did. Okay, the season of finicky eaters. And then there's the season of strong-willed children. You know that's genetic, right? Genetic. I recall many trips to the health food store. These little tiny carts, my daughters would just be a little one pushing it along. And, of course, we only got healthy food and should be grabbing whatever looked like Cocoa Puffs or Captain Crunch because she loved sugar. Well, anybody knows that a child that's taking two breathing treatments of albuterol should never have sugar, ever, ever. That sends them into hyperspeed. And so as I'm following her and putting the cereal back on the shelf and she's chasing around to the next aisle with the cart, this lady comes up to me and says, these girls are so adorable. She said, enjoy every minute. This is the best time of your life. Okay. I said nothing. I was probably in shock, trying to think about this as the best day of my life. But you know what? She was right. It ranks up there as one of the best. So as parents, grandparents, and in whatever season you're in, there are times that life is just busy. Seasons with less breathing room. But the question is, do you find yourself busy, busy all the time or just busy some of the time? Are you in a season of busy or a lifestyle of busy? It's okay to be in a season of busy. Some of the best times of our life are in seasons of busy. But if you are constantly running from place to place, out of breath, maybe getting a little impatient, maybe your season of busy has turned into a lifestyle of busy. Hey, there's a test for that. I think we have a picture too. Maybe look in your back seat. That can be an indicator. Ask a friend or your spouse. Yeah. So if you're maybe moved to a new location, you might have a lot of stuff in your back seat. If you're working multiple jobs, you might have a lot of stuff in your back seat, an extra pair of clothes. If you're a parent or grandparent, your back seat looks like a sporting goods store, a snack bar, and a library, a toy chest, all that stuff. You know what it is. It's really difficult to keep a clean back seat when you're constantly on the go. Have you guys managed that? Because if you do, I want to know. I want to see your life hack. Nobody? Okay. Well, we can work on that. When you're in a lifestyle of busy, the things that matter lose priority. The people we love the most get less of us. We keep running and running. My little tiny granddaughter says, I'm running. Well, she runs fast. God falls off of our matters list. We lose that breathing time. It evaporates when we're in a lifestyle of busy. Let's look at verse 9. Do you have your phones out, your iPhones for the scripture? The Bible in front of you. Verse 9. What do workers gain from their toil? Toil is that old word for work. I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Underline, he has made everything beautiful in its time. You can do that with your smartphone. God made every season. Our lives are filled with times and seasons. Season of childhood, adolescence, high school seasons, college seasons, married seasons, career seasons. Invite God into your season. Have that breathing space where you can center in Him and hear from Him what your steps are, your next steps in this season of life, or if you're winding up this season of life, and He's preparing you for the next one. Students, you are ending this school year. How many students do we have with us today? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, breathing room is the best thing you can do besides study. Breathing room with God, asking Him for help on those final exams. And then you have summer coming up. Come to youth group. Hang with the church. It's fun. Yeah. Dive in. Dive in and see what God has for you. Teachers, the same thing. Maybe it's been a difficult year. Your season is almost finished, heading into summer. It's time to turn on a worship song and dance. Yes. Yes. Now I'm going to say something that's a little difficult. Have you noticed that sometimes the season you're in is the season I want to be in, and vice versa, that we're kind of coveting somebody else's season? So, singles, you might be dissatisfied with the season you're in. You're tired of being alone for breakfast and eating supper by yourself or going on vacation by yourself. You are desiring to be married. And other people, stop asking them when they're going to get married. That's none of your business. None of your business. Yeah, God applauds that. He applauds being single. God is working in your season of being single. You have this opportunity to be able to travel and join God wherever He is working and not have to worry about a family or a spouse. And then we have married people wishing they were single that they could go on vacation by themselves. I hope that's not you. Well, my suggestion for that is find that breathing room and find it quick. Get out the word. Turn on a worship song and then turn that worship song off and listen. What is God saying to you? Because, you know, we didn't marry our spouse to change them or to fulfill my needs. We worship them because we love them with agape love, the love of doing what God desires for that person. Be a servant. To serve. Watch for how God is working in this season. There's financially hard seasons, jobless seasons. While you're doing your best to land a steady job, someone else has a great job, but their supervisor's making them miserable. Then there's tough seasons of heartbreak. Some are navigating a loss of relationship or a loss of job, what used to be. Stop looking back. It can be a difficult word. It's time to release it. It's time to release that season that's over and move on. God has it ready for you. And then the season that maybe you're trying to escape. Sometimes the season we're trying to escape is where God is trying to do His best work. He's trying to help you in this difficult season to make you stronger, to make you complain less, to make you joyful and kind and gentle and wise. Don't try to escape the season that you're in. When I look at the difficult seasons in my life, oh, God was teaching me a lot about myself. I can react. You can ask Brent about that. I can react. Yes, I can. Sarcasm, I don't know, just different things. He also taught me a lot about people and the journey that they were on. Why do people act the way they do? Anxiety? Or maybe things are going well. And I want to be like that person. Well, God taught me grit and resilience. He was reshaping my heart. He's still reshaping my heart to love more, to forgive more. And again, to be gentle and kind. When we were at Thrive, a few weeks ago in Sacramento, that is one thing he taught me. Be gentle. As a church, we want to be known as being gentle and kind, not harsh. We encounter enough harsh, don't we? We don't need that in our season. If you lean into God in this breathing room, His will in you, His willpower in you, His willpower in you will open the door to your next season and you will be ready for it. Isn't this all about trust? Trusting God in the season that we're in. God makes everything beautiful in its time. It takes time. You are not called to do everything. So that's one of our points. You aren't called to do everything. So we've gone from maybe not enjoying the season we're in to wanting to force ourselves into another season, or maybe just trying to get so many things on our calendar to improve ourselves or to get work done that we are being shaped into this mold of, if I work more hours, if I help more people, if I accomplish this project this week, then I have significance in my world. This is the new trend in our culture. It didn't always used to be this way. Busyness equates to significance. Have you found this to be true? How are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. I've got this and this going on. In earlier centuries, leisure time signified social status and wealth. No more. Now our culture embraces overtime and an impacted schedule. Even people coming into our country have noticed this. When they were interviewed, they said, oh, I'm busy. I'm good. They already picked up on that. Busy equals good. Harvard Business Review from March-April issue 2023 says, work, not leisure, is a signifier of dominant social status. Or as Gordon Gekko says in the movie Wall Street, lunch is for wimps. Lunch is for wimps. We don't need lunch. Who needs to eat? Ah, do not confuse busyness with significance. Your significance is not tied to how many hours you work. You don't have to run around and volunteer for everything, for every mission trip. You don't have to feed every homeless person. You just have to do what God has called you to do. Let's go back to Ephesians 3:1. This verse has some great wisdom for us. We will automatically find breathing room. This whole verse turns on one letter. You see this letter and you will have breathing room. You take it out, your life is going to be crazy busy and you're in trouble. See if you can pick it up. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time, a season. There is a time for everything, not there is time for everything, right? There is not time for everything. That one letter makes all the difference. You cannot say yes to everything. Well, you can, but you will regret it. Oftentimes we say yes to volunteering at school, volunteering for projects, for softball leagues, for baseball coaching, for book clubs, for charity fundraisers, home repair projects, feeding the homeless. There is a time for everything, but we want to join God where He is working. We don't want our relationships to suffer. Even our productivity suffers when we try to do everything, which is really the opposite of what we're striving for. And then we are burned out. You are called to join God in what He is doing. Do you know what He's doing in your life? Well, for one thing, He's placed eternity in your heart. What does that even mean? He's placed eternity in your heart. That everything you do with God will endure forever. Because whatever God does endures for all eternity. It will exist forever. So why not join God where he is working? Let's look at the scripture, Ecclesiastes 3, 12 and 10, or 12 and 13. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is the gift of God. The satisfaction of work, working hard, and relationships comes from God. It's nothing that we can do on our own. It is the blessing and the gift of God. Have you noticed that when you're doing something you really enjoy, it doesn't even matter how hard you work, you are blessed. It actually, although you're spending hours and hours on this project, it gives you energy because it is your gift, and perhaps it's your spiritual gift. And so there's the extra energy of the Holy Spirit there. Let's look at verse 14. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken away. God does it so that his people will fear him. Joining God in the work he is doing will produce outcomes. Anybody interested in outcomes? Outcomes that endure forever. It's not our great ideas of brainstorming that will remain. It's what God is doing. So here's our job. Live into breathing room. Join him in what he's doing. For Brent and I, that meant we literally had to relocate. We had no idea what season God was going to put us in. The only thing we could see was under the sun. It didn't necessarily make sense, but we followed him. And it was beyond what we could have even thought or imagined. He was preparing us for a personal and spiritual season of growth, a church plant, and a coincidental career opportunity. But note Ecclesiastes 3:2, uproot. We had to literally uproot our family to embrace the next season of what God was doing. Don't be afraid to leave the past behind and embrace what God is doing. He waits for you. He waits for you. It's okay to embrace a season of busy as long as we're careful to recognize it's only a season. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes now. Close your eyes. Have you found yourself to be continually busy? What really matters between you and God in the busyness? What can you release to him? What can you release to him? I want to write it down. Some of you are feeling stuck in the season you're in. You can't get out of it. You don't see any progress. You are desperate for a move of God. I want you to know the season has purpose. God is making you stronger. He is at work, even though you may not see it. And he will reveal something to you in this season about yourself and what he has planned for you. All things are made beautiful in its time, in God's time. You can open your eyes now. God may be calling you to move into a different direction and prepare you for your next appointed season that he has. That should give us excitement, right? Because it will be of God and he will accomplish it. You know what? It may not even make sense because we can only see what's under the sun. This might be beyond logic, because you were created with eternity in your heart. And God is making all things beautiful in His time. Would you pray with me? Holy God, I thank you for these dear brothers and sisters gathered here and online. God, we surrender to you our season. Whether we want to be in this season or move forward, Lord, you have purpose in each season. And so, God, we release what we're holding on to so we can take hold of you with both hands and join you where you are working. God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and that you will show us next steps. In Jesus' name, amen.